Some years back, well, not that many, but some years back, I was talking to a brother in Kennett, Missouri. And this man was decrying the fact that we seem to be losing our young people. We were discussing this, and there is a reason, oftentimes, why we lose our young people. It appears that the second law of thermodynamics applies to Christians just as well. Instead of a trend toward increasing entropy, it is a trend toward increasing apathy. This isn't the only cause. It is simply part of it. When we look at the problem deeply, we find that a heavy contributor to the problem is a lack of leadership. Parents doing a poor job of parenting, elders, and the lack thereof not doing their duties. The psalmist said in Psalms 95, verse 7, that we are God's sheep. The 23rd Psalm describes for us the contentment that is found under the care of a shepherd. That would be God. He cares for us, according to Isaiah. Sheep without a shepherd simply don't do well. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 25, "For you were continually straying like sheep." You were continually straying. When sheep are left to their own devices, much like children, they will stray from where they ought to be. And they will get scattered. And then they are in danger. We find that Israel's fall was due in part to a lack of guidance. Jeremiah, the prophet, said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them. And they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord." We find in this particular passage a lot of information, and we will talk about some of it as we go through here. But it's interesting to note that he says in verse 4 that these shepherds that he will raise up will cause the people or the sheep to no longer be frightened, to no longer stray from the flock. We want to spend some time this morning talking about and examining the traits that are needed in good leaders, because they are much like what is needed in good shepherds. We look at the idea, and we find that there is oftentimes a problem that goes along with being a shepherd. Jeremiah looked at it And the Lord in chapter 2 through Jeremiah says that they were more intent on themselves than they were on their sheep. They had more regard for what was good for them rather than regard for what was good for the sheep. When we turn back to Isaiah, and we look there in Isaiah chapter 56, he makes much the same charge that was made in Jeremiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 56 at verse 11. And the dogs are greedy, they are not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way. These were shepherds who had left what they were supposed to be doing and gone to do whatever it was that they wanted to do. Ezekiel says that they were feeding themselves instead of feeding the flock. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 and 3. They weren't worried about whether or not the sheep were getting what they needed. They weren't worried about whether or not the sheep were protected. They were worried about themselves. They were taking care of self before they took care of their charge. When you look in Micah chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, he says, "Now hear this, heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and twist everything that is straight, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent injustice. Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, 'Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us.'" These were people who were supposed to be leading God's flock. These were shepherds who God had put over His flock. And yet, what were they doing? They were doing it for pay. They were doing it for their own benefit so that they got something out of it. Never mind what happened to the sheep. Far too many parents today have children, but it is simply a side business, a minor inconvenience. We wonder sometimes why it is that ladies, don't think I'm saying anything about you working, but listen to what I do say. We wonder sometimes why it is that the husband is out working and the wife has a career and they have children so that they hire a nanny to take care of the children. Who's raising the children? The parents or the nanny? In Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 4, we find there that Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." All too often, the raising of children is left to someone else because dad is too busy working to be concerned. Let somebody else do it. Kind of reminds me of the old saying, "Here I am, send somebody else." When decisions are made, what are we going to do with the children? Do they become simply a secondary thought in the process? When decisions are made about what we're going to do as a family, when decisions are made about what kind of job I'm going to take, when decisions are made about the spiritual life of the family, are children thought of Imagine, if you will, hiring a shepherd to take care of the flock, and he will do so when he's not working his full-time job, or when he doesn't have something else to do. Parenting needs to be the primary job of the parents. Children need leadership. Children left to their own devices will always wind up making the wrong choices. We look and we see that shepherds, good shepherds, know their sheep. They care about them. They are concerned with the welfare of their sheep. They know their sheep. There was a congregation once upon a time. Yes, it was institutional. That has no bearing on anything. It was about, at that time it was about 400. They had 8 elders. They had 2 Sunday morning worship services. All 8 elders always went to the first service and never went to the second service. Now, explain to me, if you will, how those shepherds knew their flock. A good shepherd knows his flock, and he knows each sheep by name. And he knows the history of each of the sheep. He knows who they are. He knows what their needs are. He knows their personality, and he knows them individually. That's why elders must aspire to the office. They can't simply be stuck in there. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, at verse 1, Paul writes and says, "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do." If we were to look back at the Greek on this particular thing, we would find that what Paul is telling us is that if a man is stretching himself forth to become an elder or an overseer or a bishop or a pastor, which word would you like to use there? It is a fine work that he is trying to do, or a good work. And when we go over to Titus chapter 2 at verse 14, I believe it is, we find there that Paul tells Titus that Christians are supposed to be zealous for good works. Every man that is a Christian should aspire to be an elder. It's not a position that a man should desire so that he has power over somebody else, but rather it is a concern for the well-being of the souls of God's people. Peter says in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." It should not be that men want to be the leaders of God's people so that they can exercise some sort of power over God's people. Shepherds are to watch over the flock. Shepherds are to guard the flock from harm. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 56 complained that this was not happening. He said, "His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark, dreamers lying down who love to slumber." That's the description that Isaiah gave to the shepherds of God's people. How can a watchman call someone's attention to something that's wrong if that watchman is blind and can't see it? How can a dog warn if there is danger coming if the dog can't bark or won't bark? How in the world can a shepherd God's people unless he is conscientious in that which he does? Jesus was willing to die for his sheep. One of the problems, John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. We'll get there in a minute. One of the problems is that, as we talked this morning in class, far too many people are worried about me rather than worried about the charge God has given them to be shepherds. In John chapter 10, verses 15, 11 through 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now look what he says about the good shepherd. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hireling, and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus put the best interest of the sheep before himself. He was willing to give up his life to protect the flock. On the other hand, he says that the hireling, the guy who really doesn't care about the sheep, runs away. Elders, or the leaders of the congregation, are overseers that are there to guard against the savage wolves. Paul, as he was leaving for Rome, when he stopped, actually he was on his way to Jerusalem at that time, but when he stopped and talked to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, at verse 28 he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." He says that your responsibility is to make sure that these savage wolves don't have the opportunity to destroy the flock. But look at the rest of the statement. "And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." He says, your job as shepherds is to guard against the savage wolves destroying the flock. But I know that the savage wolves are going to come from you. Brethren, far too often, We find that to be the case when we start examining why congregations are in trouble. Far too often, it is the leadership of the congregation has failed as shepherds of the flock. Good shepherds will take care of their sheep. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 34 at verse 4, "Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them." Good shepherds take care of the sheep. Good parents watch over their children, binding up the wounds. I don't necessarily mean physical, but that could be too. Nursing them through sicknesses, seeing that they have what they need. Good elders, good leaders, watch over the spiritual needs of God's flock, rescuing them that have wandered into sin. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 through 14, "What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." Well, how does that apply? How can we take that and apply it? All too often, the leaders of the congregation, the elders, or the men of the congregation, if there are no elders, someone gets lost and never gets found because I'm not going to assign motives. Because he says, Jesus says, a good shepherd will leave the 99 and go looking for that one, and will look until he finds that one and brings that one back. A good shepherd will help the flock through times of grief, seeing to their needs. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 17, "But now understand, this passage doesn't mean anything to us, because he's talking about the elders." No. Yes, it may have been directed at the elders, but he is talking about the leaders of the congregation. It does have meaning. He says there, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." One of the scary things about being a leader is that you are responsible for those who you lead. In a spiritual sense, the leaders of God's flock are responsible for the souls of those that they lead. They're the ones that are going to have to give an account to God for what happened and why it happened. He says, "You obey them so that they may give a good account, so that it may be joyful and not with grief." God's flock needs good shepherds. Shepherds also feed the flock. One of the things that got Israel in trouble is that the shepherds weren't feeding their charges. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 3 says, "You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock." They were taking care of themselves rather than taking care of God's people. These people were charged, I know, this was God, this was Israel, I know that. They were charged with taking care of God's people. That was what they were supposed to be doing. The prophets, the priests, all of these were supposed to be taking care of God's people. And yet, they were more interested in themselves than they were in what happened to God's people. Jesus asked Peter to feed his sheep in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. We find there Jesus, as he talks to them, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." Now, we often talk about these passages, and we can go to Matthew 26 and we can find a parallel passage. And we often talk about the idea that Jesus used one word for love and Peter used another word for love. Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" Peter said, "I phileo you." And we get hung up on that, but look what Jesus told Peter to do. He said, "Tend my lamb." What does that mean? What's the idea behind what he said? Take care of them. Make sure that they are safe. Make sure that they have what they need. Take care of them. He goes on in verse 16. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Take care of them. Guard them against danger. Put your life on the line if necessary for the sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Why do you suppose, here's the answer. I'll give it to you in a minute. Why do you suppose he asked him this three times? Well, because Peter had denied him three times. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or it doesn't have anything to do with it. But what I do know is each time Peter was told to take care of the flock of God, that was the responsibility that he was charged with, to make sure that they had what they needed, food, water, shelter, whatever it might have been as far as sheep go. Let's put that in terms of human beings. Make sure that they get the spiritual nourishment that they need and the safety that their soul needs so that it is not in danger from those savage wolves. That's what he told him. That's the point that we find in this passage. We find also that elders are supposed to shepherd the church. They are supposed to feed the church. Acts chapter 20 at verse 28, which we read just a few moments ago, gives us that idea. They are supposed to feed the flock of God so that the nourishment that the flock needs is there. But it also protects the flock. You know, if you don't feed your body becomes unhealthy. Disease sets in and decays and destroys the body. The same thing happens with the flock of God. Teaching is necessary that growth might come. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting there at verse 11, we read there, He gave some to be apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As we continue on. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When we look at this passage, there's a lot to talk about. A shepherd has the job of teaching the flock so that the flock grows up. You know, we could go over to the Hebrew writer where the Hebrew writer told him that, you know, I would tell you what you need to know, but you can't hear it. You haven't grown to that point. It is the shepherd's responsibility to see that they grow to that point, that the sheep are fed the nourishment that they need so that they might grow. Fathers were told to instruct their children. No, it's not mom's job. It's dad's job. Shepherds not only feed the flock, but shepherds lead the flock. The leaders of Jeremiah's day were driving people away. They, instead of taking care of the flock and making sure that it remained strong and healthy, were separating the flock. We see today many times the same thing happens. Rather than bringing the flock together, we find the shepherds separating the flock. I know a man who is as dedicated can be. I don't think there's anybody in this audience that knows this fellow. He is as dedicated can be. But his attitude, when he talks to people, drives them off. He's put more through the front door than he's brought in. He doesn't mean to do it, but it's the attitude that he projects toward the people. A good shepherd doesn't do that. In Jeremiah 23 at verse 2, therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you. He said it was the shepherds who scattered the flock. It wasn't the wolves. It was the shepherds who scattered the flock. Good shepherds show the way. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 21, For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. We need to understand that Christ died. He was the shepherd that gave His life so that the flock might be safe. Elders and leaders are to lead by example. Yes, there's some other things involved in their leading, but let's deal with this one at the moment. They are to lead by example. In 1 Peter chapter 5 at verses 3 and 4, he says that an overseer not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Examples. Shepherds are to lead the flock by example. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 7, Remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. While shepherds have the obligation to feed the flock, while shepherds have the obligation to discipline the flock, they have the obligation to lead the flock by example. What kind of example does the shepherd set for the flock? Does he show them the way? Or does he let them go astray? In Philippians chapter 3 at verse 17, there the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 1, he says, Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He says, Follow the example that I have set. He led by example. Yes, he taught. He exhorted. He rebuked when necessary. He led by example. Parents also lead by examples. Does a parent who is sporadic in attendance produce faithful, strong Christians? You know, you see oftentimes in the summertime, and it seems to always be in the summertime because school's out. You have something called Vacation Bible School. And here comes the Joy Bus and picks up the kids and takes them, but where are the parents? On Sunday morning, here comes the Joy Bus and picks up the kids and takes them to services. But where are the parents? And what happens to those children as they grow up? What kind of example did the parents set before them? Have you ever noticed children tend to exhibit the worst traits of their parents. We need, brethren, we need good leaders. We need parents who love their responsibility, who want to be parents. And we need shepherds who love God's people, who put them first before everything else. The fall comes with people loving themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Now look at the end of that statement. Avoid such men as these. He says that the time is coming when all of these things will be true of the people around us. Now, he's not talking about people out in the world. He's talking about the flock. He's talking about the leaders of the flock. Parents and shepherds need to put others above themselves. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Just think about something for a minute. If Jesus had simply been looking out for himself, what would have happened? What would have happened? He wouldn't have gone to the cross. He wouldn't have died. We'd still be in sin. Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. That's what Jesus did. That was his attitude. Men are not capable of guiding themselves. They need the guidance of God. They need godly shepherds and godly parents to guide. Jeremiah chapter 10, starting at verse 21. For the shepherds have become stupid and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they have not prospered, and all the flock is scattered. The sound of a report, behold, it comes. A great commotion out in the land of the north to make the cities of Judah a desolation, a haunt of jackals. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Jeremiah says we don't have the ability to make decisions that affect our souls. without some guidance from somebody else. And that somebody is God. And He has placed the responsibility of making sure that that guidance gets to the flock on the shepherds and on the parents. We need guidance from God. We need the guidance that He gives us that directs us so that we know how to live our lives. He tells us that if we will obey Him and follow the rules, that He will give us eternal life. But oftentimes, we decide that we know a better way. It's not really important to us. It doesn't matter. I have time. God did His part. God made it possible for that to happen. The question that has to be asked is, are you willing to do your part? You know, you don't hear the word hell used very much anymore. When I was a kid growing up, I can't remember too many sermons that didn't have that word in it. And I can't remember too many sermons that didn't have the word sin in it. But we don't hear that much anymore. If you have never obeyed the gospel, let's put it this way. You are living in sin and you are destined to spend eternity in hell. There's no polite way to put that. You need to change that today. It's not hard if you're willing to repent of your sins. If you're willing to repent of your sins. Perhaps you did all of that before, and yet you're not being a good shepherd, or you're a sheep that's gone astray. You need to repent of that and ask God for forgiveness. Perhaps it's simply that it's a sheep that is looking at the grass on the other side. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Perhaps you've been looking at the other side of the fence. And you need some support so you don't go through that fence. Ask your brothers and sisters for that support. Whatever it is, if you find yourself subject to the invitation of the Lord, and we can be of assistance, won't you let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?
There's no one.